It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 1065. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome, 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 everyone, to the George Williams Show. I am George Williams, your host, and I'm so glad to be here behind the mic one more time, folks. One more time. All right, our number here is 251-343-0106. And by the way, we're going to have a very important guest on tonight. He's no stranger. He's been on the show before. Now, if you have any questions for him, folks, any questions, please call in and ask him. He's a PhD, he knows what he's talking about. He used to be one of those Democrats, but he realized that he couldn't stay on that sinking ship for a very long time, okay? So if you have any questions of our guests, please call in. No problem whatsoever. Also, if you know anyone outside of our listening area and you want them to listen, just tell them to go on the web, and it is FM Talk, T-A-L-K, 1065.com. FM Talk, 1065.com. Okay? And you can listen anywhere in the world, folks, over the internet. We are here. I have people listening all over the place, all over. In Africa, South America, of course, those are the places I was stationed when I was a DEA special agent. And people follow me, and all over the U.S. here, people are listening. So if you know someone who you recommend that they listen to our show, which I recommend that you recommend to them to listen to our show, I think it'll be great, okay? So remember, call in, doing our guest tonight, because if you have any questions, and he doesn't care, he will answer those questions. So please call in. All right, we have a caller on the line now. Let's see what that caller wants. Hello, caller, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, George, it's Judy Barlow from Mission Shore Republican Women.
Hi, Judy, how you doing?
I'm doing great this evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you. What do you have for our show tonight?
Well, I was just calling to talk to you a little bit about what we're doing at Eastern Shore Republican Women, and on the state level and on the national level, when we talk about border, the illegal immigration that we're seeing, the parental rights that we're looking at, and our economy that's failing right now.
All right. Judy, what is your position in the party now, the Alabama Republican Party?
So I'm president of Eastern Shore Republican Women, mm-hmm. which is a grassroots effort, and we are part of the Alabama Federation of Republican Women, and then we're part of the National Federation of Republican Women as well, which is 60,000 women strong. So we are the grassroots effort that's out there informing, educating, and electing Republican candidates. And then on the other side, I'm involved in the county party, as you are in the Baldwin County Republican Party and GOP, and then on the state level as well.
Right. Okay. All right. So what do you want our audience to know?
Well, I just wanted to talk to you guys for a few minutes about Eastern Shore Republican Women, what we are trying to do. We're in the middle of our membership drive where we are promoting Eastern Shore Republican Women on the Eastern Shore. And we are out there reaching out to prospective members and getting them involved and asking them to join our club and be ready for when we have strike forces or initiatives where we're going out and we're trying to get Republicans elected, whether it's in our districts, like we just had our primaries in Caroline Dobson is our candidate for District 2 for Congress.
Right.
So we will be helping to promote Caroline as well as other Republicans in November and trying to help get our president reelected.
Okay. Great. 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 And that's what we need to do. I'm going to talk about that in a little while with our special guests. And we need to do that. We need to do everything in our power to get as many Republicans elected as possible, especially in the House and the Senate.
It's important because when you look at what's happening now, we pass bills in the House, and I'm also chairman of the Legislation and Research Committee for the National Federation of Republican Women, and the issues, the initiative that we're looking at, by far the most important is the border and the ensuing illegal immigration. Mm-hmm. And then the economy is also part of that. We have rising interest rates, soaring mortgage rates, soaring credit card debt, war on fossil fuels, the highest inflation in over 40 years. We have got to get Republicans elected, and we've got to come together to do that this November. And that's where we come in the grassroots effort from local to state to the national level. And I encourage everybody to become a part of our club or a local club near you to make a difference. We've got to do this. We've got to get our country back under control.
Right. And I know the Republican women of Alabama and Baldwin County, Mobile County, very strong, and the National Republican Women Organization, they're very strong.
Yes, we are. We donate millions of hours, volunteer hours, to the cause nationally. Across the state, I've been part of the strike force that we initiated when we went to Columbus, Georgia, to help get Republicans elected. We just recently, this past fall, had a test pilot program where we went into Broward County. You and I talked about this, into Florida, and we targeted non-affiliated and independent voters, trying to get them to vote Republican. And I think you're going to see a lot of non-affiliated and independent voters. I think you're going to see Democratic voters cross over. I was watching the news this morning. Parents and families in Chicago are looking at there's no help for them. We're giving help to the illegal aliens that are coming across the border by the thousands.
Right.
And we are not taking care of our own families, and our own families need our help.
Correct. I agree with you 100%. We need to take care of our own people instead of these illegals coming in here. From all over the world, okay? And we don't know who they are. They haven't been vetted. It's just a shame. It's pitiful.
It is. And we have what we don't realize, and as part of this, as part of chairman for this national committee, I'm learning more and more as I get involved even deeper into this. But when you look at the bills that the Republicans have passed in the House, and we have such a slim majority in the House. That's why these elections are so important in November. When we do pass a bill such as a border bill, H.R. 2 is a border bill where we are trying to get more help, more of the wall built, more help for our Border Patrol agents, et cetera. It goes over to the Senate, and then it sits there because we are the Senate is controlled by the Democrats, and we have a Democratic president. So they're sitting on bills like H.R. 2. Senate Bill 2824 was introduced by Senator Cruz and Senator Britt from Alabama, co-sponsored that bill along with others, but it's just sitting there. So we are trying to get bills passed in the House and in the Senate, but right now in the political reality that we're in, we can't pass anything. So the Republicans are working and trying to get some relief for the border situation, and it's not just the southern border, it's the northern border. So we're going to have to get to work and try to make a difference here.
Very true. And that, none of that's going to work until after the November election, okay, when we take the House and the Senate. Because in order to pass a bill, you need both houses. You need Congress and you need
that's
the
right.
Senate. So that won't work. So that's why we better get out here and get as many Republicans elected as possible.
And that's true, George. And what we have to do is we're going to have to come together as a country and try to unify ourselves and make and have our voices heard and make a change in November. And that's us all coming together to get President Biden out of office
right.
and bring a Republican in.
All right. Judy, we appreciate you coming on and talking
Thank
to
you.
Us.
Thank you. Thank you, and we encourage everybody to come and join us.
All right, all right. Thanks, Judy Baller, folks. We need to get involved. Everybody, all Republicans need to get involved. We'll be back with our special guests after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back, folks. I am George Williams, your host, and we are on a mission. We are on a mission. Our number here is 251-343-0106, and I promise you that we will have a special guest, and here he is, Dr. Edison Walters. He's no stranger to our station here and our show. He's been on quite a few times. Doctor, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Good evening to you and your listening audience.
Great, Doctor. Tell our audience something about Dr. Walters.
Well, I attended the University of Alabama and lived in Tuscaloosa for over 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually living in Florida right now. I've spent almost two decades doing financial research, working on my doctorate degree and publishing a number of papers on the global economy and housing, the real estate industry. And I've done quite a bit of quantitative research that I've published in international business journals, ranging from real estate and housing prices, economic and also political influence on our economy, and also some research on climate change, on climate change research and the validity of climate change research.
Mm-hmm. Now, Doc, at one time you were a Democrat, correct?
Yes, I was. I actually started off in the Democratic Party. Living in Tuscaloosa, in Alabama's 7th congressional district, which is a predominantly Democratic Party district, I ended up involved in politics, and it wasn't much thought about what party to join, because I simply was in a district where pretty much the majority of the politicians were actually Democrats. So I started to engage in the political process in the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
I actually was the chairman of the Minority Caucus for our county. And so I was very involved in the Democratic Party until I started doing research and looking at actually facts, data, and statistics of what was taking place that actually changed my mind on a lot of things that I thought was the case. When in reality, when you start looking at facts, data, and statistics, you find out that a lot of things that appear to be aren't really so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you came over to the Republican Party. Now, what do you think about all the activities that are going on, especially regarding the Democratic Party and what they're doing to Trump, to Israel? What do you think about what they're doing? What is your opinion? What is, you know, it's just, to me, it's sickening.
Well, you know, one of my primary reasons for leaving the Democratic Party was I realized back around 2008 that there was a lot of political misinformation. This was long before President Trump even decided to run for office. And I actually started doing research and publishing about political misinformation mm-hmm. back then. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, the entire election in 2008 that brought Barack Obama to office in 2008 was completely based on misinformation. Mm-hmm. So what we see going on today is something that didn't just happen. This has been a long-held part of the Democratic Party playbook. And because a large part of the Democratic Party is low information voters, they simply listen to a narrative and they vote for the Democrats based on the narrative. Mm-hmm. But once you actually start looking at data, facts, and statistics, and you start taking into consideration the policies that are in the best interest of voters, then it's difficult to continue voting for the Democratic Party,
mm-hmm.
especially if you're a minority voter.
Right. What do you think, Doctor, about the trials that are going on for President Trump? You think it's a witch hunt and they're trying to keep him out of the limelight?
Well, it's definitely a witch hunt. You know, President Trump has been under attack from the first day he came down the elevator and he declared that he was running for president. Remember, we spent much of his administration chasing after a fantasy Russian collusion hoax that really was a complete distraction from his administration. And besides that distraction and misinformation, they spied on President Trump during the transition, never ever done before in the history of our country. Matter of fact, I would submit that if, in fact, another president in the past was treated like the way President Trump was, we'd have a lot of people actually in prison right now. Mm-hmm. But yet, for some reason, you know, they've declared war on President Trump from day one. And, you know, interestingly enough, yes, it's Democrats, but you also have some establishment Republicans that are anti-Trumpers. And, you know, one of the issues in the past is Washington has been about protecting their own interests and not actually serving the people. And for the first time in the history of our country, we have a president that is interested in serving the average, everyday working person. So, you know, the establishment feels like they're threatened and they are trying to do everything to prevent, you know, Washington from being cleaned up.
Yeah, that's for sure. How can we resolve this, Doc?
Well, what we have to do is we have to come out and we have to vote our interests. You know, it's time for us to stop listening to political narratives and stop listening to what you hear in the media. If when you hear the media, when the media tells you something, go find a clip and listen to the full statement. What you'll find a lot of times in the media, they'll cut and paste little parts of a statement and they'll take something completely out of context. And what you end up hearing is you end up listening to something being reported in the news that's completely different from what was said. So we need to start, you know, really trying to get more information. You might as well forget about the mainstream media, because it's nothing but misinformation and misdirection from them. I would recommend that people start going out, doing their research, finding full clips of an individual. When the media reports that an individual says something, pay absolutely no attention. Go find the clip to listen to what the person actually says.
And that's what I tell people, you know. I say, wait a minute. You know, go back and do your facts check. Because people will lie, especially Democrats. They will lie, and know it's a lie, but it goes from the White House all the way down the line. Biden lie, Harris lie, the Secretary of State lies, and the Defense Secretary lies. They all lie, and they have the same thing going.
Exactly. Now, one of the biggest lies that is out there that we've heard for years, and a lot of people still believe this, I mean, is that, you know, we hear this thing about President Trump is a racist. He said there were white supremacists were good people in South Carolina. Well, if you go back and you listen to what he actually said, in that statement, President Trump actually condemned the white supremacists.
Right.
He said that they should be condemned.
Right.
Because those people are bad people and they should be condemned. The statement when President Trump said there were good people on both sides, he explained that some people were there to protest the removal of Confederate statues, and some people were there to protest because they wanted the statues removed. And he was saying the people who were for the statues and the people who were against the statues, he was speaking about them. He was saying there were good people on both sides. They just had different views.
Correct.
And the media have completely distorted that. But he specifically said in that statement, I am not talking about white supremacists, because they should be condemned. But yet, and I guarantee you, we'll hear it again this election cycle.
That's true. All right, Doc. We're going to
call white supremacists good people.
Right. We're going to be going into our break now. So just stand by until after the break, and we'll bring you back on.
Okay.
All right, folks. Dr. Edison Walters, our special guest. Please listen to what he says, because this man knows what he's talking about. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right. Welcome back, folks. And we are on a mission. You keep hearing me say that. And that mission is to get rid of as many Democrats, a.k.a. Democrats, as we can in this upcoming election. And we must win the House and the Senate so that we can pass some bills that will make America great again, and bills that the Democrats have screwed up our country with, okay? All right, our special guest is Dr. Edison Walters. Doc, we're so glad that you're here tonight.
Thank you.
All right.
You know, well, one of the classic examples of media misinformation just happened recently while President Trump was in Atlanta. He visited a Chick-fil-A, and he actually, the media tried to spin his visit to Chick-fil-A as though he try to win black voters over by buying Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. Now, at that Chick-fil-A, there were representatives of all the historically black colleges in Atlanta. That was there because they supported President Trump.
Correct.
And, you know, he had an interesting exchange with a young lady called Micaiah Montgomery. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody ought to go search for that video and take a look at it. Matter of fact, she also had an interview with Fox News.
Correct.
But in that exchange, she explained that President Trump had a lot of support on historically black colleges, and that people didn't need to believe the media narrative that if he visited historically black colleges, they would protest. but this young lady explained that, and President Trump has tremendous support among young blacks, and you know, the media would have you to believe that, you know, if he visited these institutions, there would be riots and protests,
right?
Which is not true. There may be some riots and protests, but he has just as much support on these campuses as, you know, people who would protest against him.
Right. You know, you speak about the University of Alabama. This past weekend, and I'll talk about that in our last segment for tonight, we had the Alabama Minority GOP annual banquet and meeting. And at that banquet, we had several black students come to that event from the University of Alabama, and they were all Republicans. Okay? They were all Republicans. So that narrative that the Democrats are given is not true. It's nothing more than fake news and a lie.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about it is, especially when we refer to the historically black universities, prior to Trump, these historically black universities, they had to go to Washington every year with their hat in their hand, begging for funding every single year. The first year they met with Trump and they got their funding. The second year they came back to Washington. And President Trump asked them, well, why are they here again? They were just here last year. And they explained to him that they have to do this every year. They have to come back and beg for funding. And President Trump told them, you shouldn't have to come here every year. And he decided that he was going to provide funding for historically black colleges and universities for over a decade. So the same president that the media would have you believe is so anti-minority,
right,
provided more funding for historically black colleges and universities,
right,
than any other president in the history of our country, including President Barack Obama. Matter of fact, the funding President Trump provided was more than 10 times the funding that Obama provided for historically black colleges and universities.
Correct.
So try to let that sink in.
Right. Yeah. But you don't hear about that, do you?
No, you don't. You don't.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Doc, you're a financial wizard. What do you think about you know, according to Biden and the Democrats, Harris, everything is fine. The economy is great. I mean, I want to hear it. I want our audience to hear from you. You're an expert.
Well, you know, it's funny that you said you're asking that question. What I want your listener audience to do is, I want you to think back to before Biden was elected, and think back about going to the grocery store and walking out of the grocery store, and think about what you had in your basket compared to what you get today. I mean, inflation has literally shrunk the dollar. Our dollar has, you know, we can't, inflation it has eaten away at our purchasing power. I mean, we're in the worst shape that we have been in decades.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can go back almost three decades, and the inflation that we see today, it's the highest we've had in over three decades.
But Doc, why are they talking about it so great? They're lying, aren't they?
Yes, they're lying because here's what happened. Inflation have gone up so much since Biden took office, and what they're saying is, and let's say if inflation goes up 10%, the year before, and this year it only goes up 8%, what the Biden administration will argue is say inflation decreased. But even though inflation is still going up, they're saying because it didn't go up as high as it did in the previous year,
right?
They'll make the argument that inflation is coming down. And when in fact inflation is continuing to rise.
Right.
So what the truth of the matter is that inflation has slowed down a little bit, but inflation is still growing at a rapid pace.
Right.
It may not be growing as much as it has at the height of the Biden administration, but inflation is still growing out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And every day goes by, our dollar is buying less and less. Inflation have not come down. It's a complete fabrication of the Biden administration, and they're trying to distort what is really happening.
Right. Now, I look at, and for example of that, look at the gas prices, okay? Even though they are much higher than when Biden took office, even if they go down a little, or they say gas prices are going down, but what about the food prices?
Exactly. Well, but the thing about it is that the gas prices is not even going down.
All right.
Yeah, it have gone down a little,
right.
But it's not increasing as fast as it was before.
Right.
But it's continuing to rise because today's gas prices are still continuing to rise. It may not be increasing as much as it has previously, but it still continues to increase. So it's not even going down. It's still increasing.
Right.
I'm paying more for gas today than I have ever paid. You know, I've never paid as much as I'm paying for gas.
Gotcha. All right, another topic, Doc. And I don't like what this administration is doing to Israel. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, my thought is, you know, we need to support our allies.
Mm-hmm.
And the Biden administration, they've been in the business of cuddling Iran for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we need to actually have a much stronger hand dealing with Iran than the Biden administration has in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are people that scream debt to America, and they don't hesitate to kill Americans every opportunity they get. So we should not be in the business of cuddling Iran.
Right. I understand that. Look at all these colleges and universities. What do you think about all those demonstrations? And the debt to America. You are in America, okay? You're here as a guest, and you're hollering debt to America, you know, support Hamas. Unbelievable, Doc.
Yeah, it's definitely unbelievable. You know, and when you think about all the people who have made sacrifices so these people could be free to protest. And it's really sad to see these people protesting against their own flag that people have laid their blood, sweat, and tears to defend.
Right.
I mean, matter of fact, I have to thank you for your sacrifices you made in defending the flag.
You did too, Doc. You were a military man.
But it's people like you, you know, have put everything on the line so these people can have the freedoms that they have today. And, you know, it's just sad to see that, you know, people just really don't appreciate the sacrifices others have made for their freedom.
That's true. Doc, we've got about 2 more minutes. What do you want our public to know about this whole situation and to get it resolved?
Well, I think that, you know, what we need to do is if Biden is elected, I believe that it's the end of the country as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple decades ago, my biggest concern was leaving this country so the next generation could achieve the American dream and be better off
mm-hmm.
than the current generation. This is the first time in the history of our country that we can say that the next generation is not going to be better off than this generation.
Mm-hmm.
Today, when you look at the turmoil in our economy and the damage that the Biden administration have caused the economy, I mean, the majority of Americans are priced out of purchasing a home.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time in the history of our country that we're going to have a generation of lifelong renters if we don't do anything to change it. Home ownership has been the underpinning of the American dream,
mm-hmm.
a bedrock foundation of the American dream. And think about it, folks. Today, as we speak right now, there are millions, the vast majority of Americans will never become homeowners unless we drastically change what is going on in our economy today.
True.
And you should let that sink in.
All right, Doc. We appreciate you coming on. We're going to have you on again in the near future, okay?
All righty. Well, thank you so much for having me, and God bless.
All right, Dr. Edison Walters. We'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, folks, welcome back. Welcome back. And let's continue with our mission. We appreciate Dr. Edison Waters coming on. He knows what's going on, folks. And he's good. He's good. And he will tell you. See, one thing about us, okay, when I say us, we Republicans, we must show guts. We must say what's on our mind. And don't listen to these, I call them black radicals, who are calling you a racist or white supremacist. Let me tell you, folks, that's long gone, okay? And they use that. They use it as a paradox. You know why? To get black people and Democrats, get them aroused, you know? And they keep bringing up the KKK and white supremacists, but they never bring up black supremacists, you know? Black and white, Antifa is a combination of both of them. Black Lives Matter, it's unbelievable. And they keep using this, but guess what? Guess what? You guys out there are starting to realize that it's nothing but propaganda. It's just like in the old Soviet Union, okay? the new Soviet Union, and in Germany, where they talked Hitler kept talking for years before he came into power, you know, about the Jewish folks. And then the Germans started believing it, folks. All right? That's what the Democrats are doing. You look at what they're doing. They're talking about the whites, the white supremacists, the white KKK. Since when have you heard anything coming from the KKK, folks? Since when? You haven't, except from black people, especially black, okay, minorities, others. That's what you hear from them. All right. Right now, the white folks out there are scared to even say the N-word, but who's saying it? The blacks, the N-word. It's blacks calling other blacks. And you let one white say something like that, and they want to jump on that person. But they do it every day, and I hear it just about every day, folks. Just about every day I hear it, okay? So this race thing, this white supremacist thing, is nothing more than a bunch of lies, a bunch of lies. And I'll give you an example. When I was coming up and I joined the Marine Corps 2 weeks after Kennedy got shot, I joined the Marine Corps. And after I spent 8 active duty years, which some of those years, one was in Vietnam and Hawaii and different duty stations, I got out and became a police officer in Paterson, New Jersey. And I wanted to be a Fed. But guess what? What did I need to become a Fed? A federal agent. I needed a 4-year college degree. Okay? Now, if it was that bad, folks, would I have been able to go to college and get my degree? Huh? And I went to a predominantly white college. This was in 72, folks. If it was that bad. My children have degrees. My granddaughter has a degree. If it's that bad, why are they keep saying white supremacists, you can't do nothing. Systematic racism, okay? Which is a bunch of bull. If you want to get it, you can get it. If you want to go to college, you can go to college. If you want to get a degree, all you need is some elbow grease, as we say in the Marine Corps. Elbow grease, okay? And guts and determination. So, who is talking about this? Who is talking like that? The folks in the Democratic Party. Democratic, a.k.a. Democrats, folks. They're doing, and then they're talking about reparation. What reparation? Tell me anybody out there, white or black. If you're white, how many slaves have you owned? Okay? We're talking about something that happened 150, 160 years ago. What do you have to do with it? What do I have to do with it? Why should I need reparation? You need to get out, get off of your A and work. Stop drinking all that beer and whiskey. Stop smoking those cigarettes. They cost money, folks. They cost money. Stop buying those Cadillacs. Okay? And BMOs, BMWs, and stuff. Get a Ford. Get a Chevy. Get a GM. I have a GM product. Get that. Pay your rent. There's nothing you can't do that you have not been able to do since the Civil Rights Bill passed. Nothing. And guess what, folks? There's nothing that has happened to me, in my opinion, good since the Civil Rights Bill. You know why? Because we had black colleges. We had black schools during the Jim Crow era. I came from that era, okay? We had educated black teachers. We had black businesses in our black communities. We had black doctors. Look at Ben Carson. He's one from there. He come from that era, folks. One of the best brain surgeons in the world. Okay? We had them all. And in my opinion, the civil rights bill hurt black people. Now look what happened as a result over the last 60 years. Okay? Look what happened. We don't have many educated people like we had before that. We don't have them. We don't have them. Okay? So these are the things that we must set aside that is coming from the Democrats. We must do that. And I like the time. I'm a Marine Corps Vietnam combat veteran, okay? Infantry. We call it a Marine Corps grunt. And let me tell you something. The Israelis are surrounded by enemies. Surrounded. What would happen if the Israelis lay down their guns, lay down their weapons, and give up to surrender to the Muslims over there? They'd be wiped out. Wiped out. What happens if the Muslims over there surrender to the Israelis? They would be given land. They would be given this, given that, given that. They wouldn't wipe out. They wouldn't wipe out the Muslim community. Okay? But those Muslims would wipe out the Israelis. They're fighting for survival. And another one very important thing. You hear 34,000 Palestinians killed. Yeah, how many of them were Hamas? How many of them were militants? They don't let you know that, folks. They don't let you know that. They don't let you know how many were guerrillas. I call them guerrillas. Okay. They just put everything in one. You know why? Because they want to give that impression that the Israelis are doing nothing but slaughtering. But slaughtering the good citizens of Gaza or Hamas or Hezbollah or Iran. Okay? We gave Iran a break the other day, the other night. We shouldn't have done it. When you throw 300 missiles and UAVs at a country, you want to wipe out everybody. So America told Israel, no, don't retaliate, okay? Don't do it. Prime Minister Netanyahu, don't listen to those fools in the White House. Do what you guys have to do. Wipe them out. Wipe them out. Get rid of Hamas and those radical Muslims for good. Get rid of them. Because it's your survival that's at stake. It's your survival. So, in my opinion, do what you have to do and don't listen to those idiots in Washington. Because they, Iran's got them in their corner. Iran has Washington in their corner, folks. All right, that's enough for now. Until next week, folks. Vicon Dales, everyone.